If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Today, we're actually finishing up our series titled Transform. We've been walking through a 7-week series that kind of went hand in hand with our life groups, and we're wrapping that up this week, so our life groups will be wrapping up this week. And this series that we've been walking through has been focusing on how do we get transformed in 7 key areas of our lives. And so from the beginning, we've talked about several different areas of our lives where God wants to bring transformation. We started off by talking about being transformed in our spiritual health. Then we talked about our physical health, then our mental health, our emotional health, then relational health, and then last week, as I mentioned, we finished out with our financial health. And this morning, we're going to wrap things up as we talk about being transformed in our vocational health. Now that word, vocational health, what does that even mean, right? What does that mean? Well, what I want to focus on today is how we allow God to transform our work life. The place that we work, and it doesn't matter if you work in an office, if it's a construction job, if it's, you know, in a factory, or if you're a stay-at-home mom, it doesn't matter. God wants to transform our vocational life, our work life. Now, did you know that the average person, okay, the average person spends 90,000 hours working over their lifetime. That's a lot of time, right? That's 1/3 of our lives. That's why it's so important that we experience vocational health, right? Because it's 1/3 of our life. And if we're unhealthy in our jobs or in our work situations, it's going to bleed into the other areas of our lives. So the main text that we're going to look at this morning to just kind of help figure out how do we be transformed in our vocational health is in Ephesians 6. We're going to read verses 5 through 9. So if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me here as we read. And I forgot to mark my place here, so I've got to find it. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. All right, go back. Galatians, Ephesians. Here we go. All right, I should have marked this already. All right, Ephesians 6. 5-9 says this: Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. Verse 9, and masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Now, people, as they read the scripture, right, they say, well, this is about slave-master relationships. This doesn't have to do with work. But see, we have to realize that in this time, slavery back then, or really servanthood back then, was a lot different than what we know when it comes to slavery. As a matter of fact, back in this time, when Paul wrote this, out of the 120 million people that lived in Rome, almost half of them were slaves or servants. And people became servants in all different ways back then, okay? It wasn't just about race like we saw in our nation, right? In our American history, slavery was about race. It wasn't just about race back in this time. The reality, many were just born into servanthood. Some were actually sold by their parents because their parents couldn't afford, and so their child became pay and went to work for others because of the payments of the parents. Some were people that were just abandoned, and so the masters would take them and raise them up, and they would be their servants. Some were captives of war. We've seen that. Some were people that just they didn't have the ability to pay their debts, So they themselves became servants to pay back that debt. Some even volunteered to be servants to better their condition. You see, one of the requirements of the master of this time was to provide the servant with food and shelter. So some would volunteer and become a servant just to have food and shelter, right? I'll work for you so that I can have food and shelter. As a matter of fact, many servants back then actually got paid for what they did, for their servanthood. They would get paid, or they were repaying a debt one way or the other. And so they could eventually buy their freedom. So many of these situations that we look at here were basically working type environments. And so these scriptures just, they provide great application for us for the workplace today. They give us a little insight to, you know, the employer-employee relationship, right? Or the boss and the subordinate relationship, or whatever the relationship that you may have in your workplace. And so looking at these scriptures from this perspective, what is it that we can learn in regards to a healthy work life, to being healthy in our vocational life? Well, there were four things as I read through this scripture that stood out to me as I studied them. And so I want to share with you this morning four things that I think from the scriptures that we need to do to experience vocational health. Four things we need to do. The first one is this. We need to submit to authority. Oh, right. We need to submit to authority. Verse 5 tells us, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. We need to submit to authority. And this one's a big one, right? For many of us. The hardest thing about this one is the fact that there is something in each of us that desires to be our own master, right? We desire to be our own master. We don't like being told what to do. We don't like being told what we can do and what we can't do. And part of the reason is because we always think that we know what's best, right? We always think we're right. But we hear the word submit over and over again throughout the scriptures. And I believe that a submitted heart is one of the keys to a healthy work environment, is one of the keys to a healthy vocational life. And the key is that submission is ultimately to Christ. It's ultimately to Him. The end of verse 5 says, just as you would obey Christ. Now, I believe in the sovereignty of God, okay? Which means this. I don't believe anybody is put into a position of authority or leadership that God hasn't allowed to be put into that place, okay? Now, I'm not saying that they're good at what they do. I'm not saying they know what they're doing. I'm saying that no person has been put into that position of authority or leadership that God hasn't allowed to be put in that place. So what does that mean for us? It means that regardless of who your employer is or who your boss or who is over you, whoever you answer to, whoever you're accountable to, whether you like them or not, whether you agree with them or not, God's desire is for you to submit to their authority. It's funny, after being a youth pastor, I was about 10, 12 years into it, being a youth pastor in Newburgh, I got several George Fox students who were studying to be youth pastors. They were on a track, youth pastor track there at George Fox, and they needed to interview a youth pastor. And so I had several, for a period of time, I don't know why, but I had several people setting up meetings with me to come and to interview me. And they'd ask me several different questions, but one of my favorite questions for me, I loved it when they asked this question, was then when they would ask me something along the lines saying, after your years of ministry, if you could give one bit of advice to a starting youth pastor, what would it be? I love when they ask that question, because the first thing I would say is, always submit to your pastor. Always submit to your pastor. Now, I can tell you, I honestly never struggled with this. And I don't know, my dad just taught me to respect leadership, to respect authority. It wasn't something I struggled with. But it was interesting because it was when I was in the middle of my ministry, you know, about 7-8 years into it, I realized how I had a lot of freedoms. I had a lot of things I was able to do. And some of my youth pastor buddies would get mad and get frustrated and say, you know, these issues with their pastors, and they would butt heads at times with their pastors. And I never dealt with that. And so I one time was talking to one of my pastors, and I just said, hey, you know, I don't understand why, you know, this or that. And I, you know, again, I'm thinking that the pastor's messed up, you know, not messed up, but, you know, well, why is he like that? And my pastor said to me, he said, Darren, the only reason you have the freedom that you have is because you have been completely submitted to my authority. Whatever I ask of you, you do. And so I trust you. And so I've given you freedoms. See, many of my other friends, right off the bat, they butt heads. And so the pastor holds on a little bit tighter because of the frustrations. When we rebel, it hardens the relationship between us and our leaders. But when we submit, it softens the relationship between us. You see, if we want to be good workers, we have to learn to submit to authority. Because it's in that submission that then God will raise us up and we'll experience freedoms. We see an example of this in Matthew 25, 23. It says this, it says, well done, good and faithful servant, right? You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. We see here, because they had been faithful here with what they'd been given, now he wants to give them more. The thing is, a lot of times we have trouble submitting to authority. And instead of submitting, we push against, and then we end up leaving and try to advance or move up on our own. Now why? So that we can do it our way, right? So we can do it the way we want to. And what it does, it ends up causing friction and problems in the workplace. It's interesting, when I began the process of preparing to plant the church here in Dallas, when I realized that that's what was going to happen, we're going to be planting a church in Dallas, I'd called a buddy of mine who had recently planted a church about 2 years prior to when I did. And I sat down with him and we talked about some things. And I asked him, I said, all right, man, after 2 years, I said, you know, that same kind of question that the youth kids asked me, you know, the youth pastors asked me. I said, if there's any advice that you can give me after these 2 years, what would it be? And he said this, he said, make sure you're submitted to your pastor and that he is in full support of you going and planting this church. And then he went on to tell me about 5 churches that were planted in the Portland area with him. He was one of 5 churches. There were 5 churches. He planted this church in Portland, which 2 years before I did, so now almost 5 years ago. But when I met with him, it had been 2 years, and he said 5 churches were planted in Portland around that same time. He said 2 of them went out with the blessing of their church and the support of their church. He said the other 3 went out because they were frustrated with their pastors and the leadership, and they were going to go and do church the right way. And after a year and a half, only 2 churches were still up and running. And I bet you can guess which churches were up and running. The ones that had submitted to the leadership. You see, God calls us to submit to the authority of those over us because He knows it will be beneficial to us. It will bring health to our lives. It will bring health to the workplace. We have to submit to authority. The second thing that I think we need to do to experience a healthy work life is we need to give our best at all times. We need to give our best at all times. Verse 6 says, obey them not only to win their favor, when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. The question here that we have to ask ourselves is, how well do we work when the boss or manager or those people that are over us aren't around? See, one of the things I learned as I was studying these scriptures is that in the time of Paul here, when he's writing this, the slave was generally known for being lazy. Okay? The slave was generally known for being lazy. They would work hard when the master was around, but when he wasn't, they would slack off. Now, I'm sure none of us can relate to this mentality. None of us have ever done that in our lives. We would never think of slacking off when our boss isn't around, when people aren't around, right? The truth is, this mentality wasn't just in the times of Paul, right? We see it all around in the workplace today. The boss isn't there. Oh, we're on Facebook. Oh, boss comes. As a matter of fact, I did this with the approval of my pastor in Newburgh. We used to, one of our things was when March Madness would come around, we kind of in the office, we made it a fun thing. We would put up one of the computers in the office and we would watch the games. And we'd all, when it was close to the end of a game, we'd all come around and watch the game, you know, and it was a lot of fun. But what's interesting is that app that allowed you to do this, I'm sitting there, I'm like, what is that? And it had this boss button. If you push that button, immediately the game would go away and the spreadsheet would pop up. And that tells you right there how we are in the workplace, right? They prepare this boss button so that when the boss comes, oh, we look like we're working when in reality we were doing other things on the computer and all this kind of stuff. Some are like, I want that. I need one of those boss buttons. The reality is so often we do just enough to get by. Right, we kiss up to the boss when he's around. We look like we're working hard to get his favor, and then we often talk badly about them when they're not there, right? And slack off and don't do what we're supposed to do. And this is exactly what Paul's telling us not to do. This shouldn't be the work ethic of Christians, is what Paul's saying. We're called to do our work as if we're doing it for the Lord. And if we're doing our work for the Lord, we should be giving our best at all times, regardless of whether we're being watched or not. This kind of work ethic reflects the Christian life that we're called to live, which kind of leads me to the third thing that we need to do to experience health in the workplace. And two and three can blend together here. But the third thing is this, is we need to realize that our work life is part of our Christian life. I've heard people say either our Christian life will impact our work life or our work life will impact our Christian life. And though I understand what they're trying to say here, this idea that our Christian life and our work life are separate, that's the whole problem in the first place. You see, often we see them as two separate things. This over here is my life in Christ, my Christian life. This over here, that's my work life, and we try to keep them separate. But the reality is, according to God, they should be the same. Verse 7 says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. In your work, it's serving the Lord in all things, right? As if your work is part of your walk with Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Now that little phrase there, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. If you read it in the Greek and break it down to its original language, it actually says, whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. Amazing, right? It means the same thing whether in Greek or in English. It means everything we do, our work, anything, should reflect our Christian life. It should reflect our life in Christ. Living for Jesus and glorifying Jesus isn't just something that we do on Sundays. Or let me rephrase that. It shouldn't be something we just do on Sundays. Many of you know that I used to rap back in the days. If you were here this summer during our family service, you got to kind of hear one of those raps. Had a lot of fun up here with the worship team. It was a lot of fun. But one of the first raps that I ever performed in front of people was a rap titled Weekend Warrior. Now, some of you know that this is a term used for military reservists, right, or for National Guard soldiers. And they're given this term because they work their regular jobs, right, Monday through Friday. They're out working in their offices, places, wherever. And then they go do military training on the weekends, and thus the name Weekend Warrior. Well, my rap talked about people that would go to church on the weekends, that would act all holy, right? You know, raise their hands, look like everything was good. But then on Mondays, they were back to their other life, whether it was school or work, living like the world, living life in a way that wouldn't glorify God. There are a lot of people in our world that live the life of a weekend warrior. They are Christians on Sundays, right? On the weekend, but once the weekend's over, the rest of their life, their work life, their home life is totally different. And this is not what God desires for His people. It's not what God desires of those who would call themselves followers of Christ. His desire is that we would glorify Him in all that we do. Every day, all day, that we would glorify Him. Whether we're at church, whether we're at home, whether we're at the office, whether we're at whatever, wherever we're at, our lives should look the same. People shouldn't say, whoa, he goes to church? I would have never guessed. People should look at us and our life should be different. They should see Christ in us. Our lives should glorify God in all that we do. We need to realize our work life is every bit a part of our Christian life, of our walk with Christ. They go hand in hand. And if we want to experience health in our vocational life, we have to understand this concept. We need to submit to authority. We need to do our best at all times. We need to realize our work life is part of our Christian life. And then the fourth thing I want to share with you this morning actually kind of comes from the flip side here. The side of the master. Maybe some of you are the boss. Maybe some of you run your own business. Maybe some of you are the employer. Maybe some of you do lead other people. And this one would speak to you this morning. The fourth thing that we need is this, is we need to realize we're no better than the people we lead. We're no better than the people we lead. I don't know if that's proper English or not, but it just flowed the way I wanted to. We're no better, all right? No better than the people we lead. Verse 9 says, "And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, since you know that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him." As an employer or boss or whatever leadership position of authority you have, it's important that we realize the only reason we have that authority is because God's given us that authority. He's allowed us to step into that place of authority. Anything we have, anything we do, anything we become is really only by the grace of God, right? It's only by the grace of God. And though we may have authority in our workplace, God is the ultimate authority and we answer to Him. And if we look to the Lord, He tells us in Matthew 23:11, the greatest of all is the servant, right? Isn't that what He tells us throughout the Scriptures again? The greatest is the servant. Now, does that mean that we should just relinquish our authority? Oh, the greatest is the servant. Here, you be the owner of this business. Here, you be the boss. Here, you do these things, right? The world would love that, right? If we did that. No, it simply means we should lead with grace and love. It means that we should never lord our authority over others. Now, there are times where you have to make decisions and they need to respect the decisions you made, but we shouldn't lord it and use it and abuse it. It means that just as doing all things to the glory of the Lord applies to the worker, it also applies to the one who's in charge as well. The one who leads is to lead by example. When we learn to submit one to another in the workplace, worker to master, master to worker, we will ultimately experience the kind of healthy work life God desires for all of us. God desires for us to be transformed in every area of our life. As we've walked through this series, we've talked about being transformed in our spiritual health. We've talked about being transformed in our physical health, in our mental health, in our emotional health, in our relational health, in our financial health, and in our vocational health. God wants us to be transformed in all those things, and the only way that's going to happen is if we fully submit our lives to Him and allow Him to be in control, allow Him to come and to begin to change us from the inside out. And it's stepping or walking out these things in our life of surrendering to the Lord, letting Him be in control, and following Him wherever He takes us, even if it's not where we thought we wanted to go in the first place. I didn't know that there was a path in my life that led to Dallas, Oregon. I am so glad that I'm in Dallas, Oregon. And it's following Him to where He wants. And when you follow Him, He will bless you. When you follow Him, those things that you didn't know that you would have a passion and desire for, you begin to have a passion and a desire for. You know the scripture, God gives you the desires of your heart. That's when your heart begins to line up with His. And as we're people that begin to allow our life to line up with Him, we will continue to be transformed and we will experience His grace and mercy in all these areas of our life. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this word. We thank You for what You're doing in our lives as individuals and even as a church, Lord. This journey that we have been on as we're coming close here, just a few months away here from our 3-year anniversary, Lord. It's amazing as I look back and see the transformation that's even happened in our church. And it's just a picture of what You want to do in each of our lives, Lord, of transforming us into the people that You've called us to be, Lord, in every aspect, in every area of our life. And so, Lord, we want to just continue to seek You. We want to seek You in every area of our life, Lord, in our spiritual life, in our physical life, in our mental life, in our emotional life, in our relational, in our financial, Lord, and in our vocational life. We want to seek You in all these things, Lord. May You help us to be transformed in these areas and become who You've called us to be, to grow in these areas of our life, to continue to follow You. Wherever that may lead us, Lord Jesus, whatever that may look like, doing whatever You've called us to do, we just seek to love You. We seek to serve You and grow in You, Lord. And so I just pray You would continue to move in our hearts, continue to challenge us, Lord, to be more and more like You, because that's what it's about, Lord. It's following You. It's looking at the example that You set for us. As I shared in the scripture this morning, leaders lead by example. You are the great leader of all. And You led by example as You came to this earth and You showed us how to love and to care and to serve others, Lord. Help us to learn from that example that You showed us. We thank You for this word, Lord. We pray that You allow it to penetrate each of our hearts right where we're at. Whatever those things are that we needed to grab hold of, Lord, whether it's submitting to authority, Lord, whether it's doing the best at all times, Lord, whether it's realizing that our walk with You and our work life should be one and the same, Lord. It's a part of that life and that journey of living for You. It's glorifying You in all that we do and delighting in doing it, Lord. And if we're in places of leadership, realizing that we're no better than the next person, Lord, we're all just saved by Your grace, Lord. We all have the opportunity for life because of what You did for us. We're all worthy of death. That's what all of us are worthy of. And You have given Your grace and mercy that we might have life in and through You. And so, Lord, we thank You for these things. Encourage us, challenge us, help us grow in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.